Let's get into the word. I think I covered everything. We have a leadership meeting after service today, and we need our leaders in the house, amen, to be in these meetings. Vision statement. Welcome to Gen to Gen, where our mission is to display Jesus through our light, demonstrate Jesus through his power, and deliver Jesus through the good news of the gospel. Let's put our decree up, and don't get too comfortable, because we're going to not be long. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. As matter of fact, I'm sorry. Bring my visual demonstration, please. I forgot to ask for that. All right. Elder has it. Tell Elder I need my tool. All right, let's start again. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what your word says I can do, and I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. Amen. Genesis 26 in NIV. Thank you, man. This is to bury all the ties today. Not just in the ground. Just kidding. Plant a seed. Genesis 26. Let's read. I want to read. We're going to skip around this 26th chapter just to get the context. But let's start here. We're going to read the first six verses. And then we'll skip a little bit here. So let's read it together. Now there was a what? Famine in the land. Besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I'll tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. So right there, it's important for him to know the place and to stay in that place. Let's keep going. For to you and your descendants, your family, I will give all the lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your offspring or your generations, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Go to verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him. This is what I required of him. This is what he did. He's, what is it? Keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. Note. Just go back to verse 5. I just want to highlight that. He kept my commands in remembrance, and he rehearsed them, and he knew what they were. He knew what I needed from him, and he kept them in his heart. Not only did he was a hearer of the word, but he also kept my decrees, verbal instructions, things I told him to do, moves I told him to make. He did those things as well, and instructions to the detail of how to do it, when to do it, and who to connect to, and who not to connect with. He kept my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. Verse 6. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. All right. He stayed there because God had told him to stay there. The next several verses we won't read. The next several verses is Isaac's wife. He said she was his sister, and he wasn't, you know, it wasn't a sister, it was his wife. And then Abimelech saw him caressing her, touching on the high parts. Well, the Bible says he caressed her. He caressed her in a way that demonstrated it was not his sister. So he touched her most intimately. I don't know why we're scared of intimate talk in the church. all kind of stuff on TV. We can't say he caressed her. Amen. But so when Abimelech saw Isaac touch his wife in a non-sisterly fashion, he said, man, what are you going to do? You were about to bring a curse upon us. So that's what happened in the verse. Let's pick up at verse 12. This is the degree to which God blessed Isaac for his obedience, for being in the right place. This is a degree in which God blesses you when you're in the right place. Look at the blessing. Verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land. In the same year, he reaped 100-fold because the Lord what? Blessed him because he was in the right place. His family was in the right place. His communication with God and his family was in the right place. When you substitute and you compromise your family and compromise God's image for your family, you hinder the blessings of God. When you don't forgive, when you hold hostility, when your home is toxic, you hinder the blessings of God. But when you're in the right place, for every seed you sow, you get another one. For every two you sow, you get two back. For every three you sow, you get three back. Don't you know God wants to bless your family? Come on, somebody say, God wants to bless my family. We got to start believing for greater things, for bigger things, for breakthrough, amen, in our family. All right, verse 13. Not only that, some people say, don't talk about money in the Bible. Well, take all the scriptures. God has to come and take all the scriptures about money out of the Bible then. Because look at what God did. He said, the man, Isaac, became rich and his wealth continued. Wasn't a tax return. Annually, they give a few extra dollars. But his wealth, it compounded interest. His investments grew. His passive income increased. His products continue to sell more and more. I'm putting it in modern day vernacular. That's how we talk. So he became rich and his wealth continued to grow. So in other words, he became rich and he became wealthy and he became more wealthy and he became more wealthy to the point where he became very wealthy. Let's go to the next verse. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Don't you know when you get blessed, people are going to hate on you? You're going to have some haters. Amen. People want to borrow money. Amen. Family members talking about you. Amen. Because you're blessed. Get used to being talked about. Amen. Get used to your haters. Amen. Because the higher you go, the more haters you're going to collect. Let's go to the next verse. So the wells his father's servants had dug, so all the wells our father has dug, his generation, his inheritance, amen. Because a well here is not just a place where you draw water from. If you dug the well, you own the land. The people that, why? Because it was a resource. It was a life-giving resource of that region. Who wants a house with no sewer system or no plumbing? You want a house that you can't turn your water on. You have no water. Well, you can have this house, but you can't have the water. you can't flush the toilets. If you own the well, you own the land. So the father's servants had dug in the time of his father's Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Amen. We're going to get to our text here in a minute. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, look, move away from us, man. You have become, you came here for help and support. You have outgrown us. You are too powerful for us. You got to go. All right, verse 18. Isaac reopened the wells that had dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up, and Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given him. He went back in history and went after his father's wells. Let's go to the next verse. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. Verse 20. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water's ours. The water's ours. The land is ours. So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Esek in the Hebrew means contention. They were contending. When there's a heated disagreement, an assertion, an argument, they argue, they contended with him, they disputed with him over that plot of ground, over that well. All right, let's go to the next verse. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, and he named it Sitna. Sitna actually in the Hebrew means the same as Satan. They were adversarial regarding that plot of land, that place, and they fought with them. Another word is enmity. And they fought and strove against them, amen, and they could not own that well. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it, and he named that Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. We will flourish. And just for a few moments, and we read the scriptures, and just give you the context, I want to talk about family wells. Family wells. Your family well. Your place of resource, your place of inheritance. Your family well. We've talked this week about, this month, about communication. We've talked this about setting core values. And we've talked about toxic communication, and we've just hit it from all different angles, and what kind of communicator are you? But when it all boils down to the communication is a system, you have to realize, you have to find where that system comes from, and you have to be willing to do the work. That's why I got my tool here, to redig the wells and to go back. Assess where this came from, but also do the work to fix it. Nothing really impacts, and nothing will really bear fruit unless you do the work to repair what is broken. Unless you redig the wells, it doesn't work. It's just another good message, another good Sunday. Oh, my God, it sounded good. Amen. Weren't you blessed? So many times, you know, most Christians, we hear the word, but we don't do the work. We don't redig the wells. We don't assess the systems. We don't find out where this comes from. And we don't deal with our present circumstances. It's just a good word to hear for a moment, and then it goes bye-bye. If you're not willing to dig, if you're not willing to really go at it, if you're not willing to really tap in to something new, you know what happens? You stay the same. Wells in the Old Testament were about anywhere from 8 to 30 feet deep. Shoveling through limestone, hard rock, dirt, and just plowing to get to the access to the water, to get there. It's hard work. How many would agree? It's hard work to change. I mean, it's so easy to stay the same. It's so easy to keep the same communication. It's so easy to keep the same relationship. It's very hard to work on something, especially when you add an enemy who doesn't want the well redug. Now you've got to form a new habit against an adversary that doesn't want you to form a new communication. He wants your marriage to stay mediocre. He wants your finances to stay mediocre. He doesn't really want you to get breakthrough. So now you got to do hard work with an adversary. Sometimes you're trying to do work with a loved one. It's hard. And you're like, you're ready to give up. I cannot penetrate their heart. I can't win them over. Forget this. I'm going to let it be like it was. But sometimes you got to dig. And sometimes that takes prayer and that takes fasting. Thank you for that, amen. Sometimes that takes prayer and that takes fasting. Because habits die hard. I had my annual physical, and about a couple of weeks ago, my numbers are good. Hadn't been to the doctor in about 3 years. I had it over the phone, you know, during COVID. And my numbers are good. But he said from 3 years ago to now, he said, you know, you're starting to climb in a couple areas. He said, once you start exercising more. I said, okay. So I said, I'm going to do that. So about a week after that, I'm sitting on the couch. I love chocolate chip cookies. I mean, they just like, I like chocolate chip cookies. I mean, that's God. I know there's a God because there's chocolate chip cookies. Anyway, so I'm eating a chocolate chip cookie, and the Holy Spirit convicts me. He said, why are you eating that? So why haven't you, didn't you hear what you need to do? And yet you're going to rebel or not adhere to advice? So that's why last week all the chocolate chip cookies was here. I said, bring all the cookies. We're going to give them all away. And ever since then, I've been running on the Peloton. Why? Because if I want that well of health, I have to be willing to dig the hole and put in the work. Amen. I gave up coffee. Y'all act like I was a coffee crackhead or something. But we're big into coffee. I'm big, you know, I was big. Gail gave, we didn't know, we gave them up at the same time, didn't even know it, didn't even talk. I've been off coffee for over 21 days. Because I started drinking and I was having it more, I wouldn't have no water in the morning, nothing, just straight coffee. Then the evening, I started drinking coffee. And usually, when I go a couple of days, a cup of coffee, a couple of times a day, I said, I know it's getting bad. I know it's getting bad. So I had to give it up. So for a few days, I was very lethargic. I was going through withdrawal, going through coffee withdrawal. You know, they call it the DTs, you know. But you know what I had to do? If you want something different, you have to be willing to dig new wells, to put in the work. Oh, I just want to be a Christian. I just want to hear a good message. Just give me a message. Just preach. Amen. I want to shout. I want to feel good. And then send me home. And then nothing changes. So here's Isaac. He's redigging the wells. He's connecting with his past so that he can live in his future, so he can be reaffirmed and hear the word of God. Amen. His present, I'm talking about his present. He was connecting with his past. Amen. So he can be, amen, hear about his present so that he can see the trajectory and hear God saying what he had to say about his future. And he gets to a well, the third well, and he's able to name it. There's a place and there's a space for us, and he's able to experience. Come on, let me get your attention a few more moments. He's able to experience God in this place, and that place is Rehoboth, where God has made room for me. He has made room for us. You know why people are committing suicide at an all-time high? It's because they have not experienced the God of Rehoboth, that God, that there's space for them, that they matter, that they're significant, amen, that they have purpose, that they have destiny. They've not experienced that. They think their life is useless and worthless and going nowhere. They have not experienced, amen, Rehoboth. God has made room for you. God has made room for your family. Come on and say that. God has made room for my family. And he's able to dig that well. And I began to think about the wells in the Bible. And I began to think, you know, the first well that we got to dig is the well of the altar, the presence of God, the well that Jesus meets us at. That's the first well we have to dig. Because here's Jesus meets a woman at the well. And he does for her what Isaac was doing. He talked about her past. He brought her to the present. And he launched her family into an entire new future. The first well that we must dig in our homes is the well of devotion, the well of prayer, the well that Jesus meets us at. If you don't pray together, you need to start praying together. If you don't have a family altar, you need to build a family altar. Even if they don't believe God, if they're willing to pray, say, come on, I'll just pray. I'll pray every time. Amen. I'll pray to you. Amen. Till you believe. I'll pray. Let's form this well. We need to tap into the family well. Amen. The well of Jesus. God reconciles your past, because that woman had an embarrassing past. The woman at the well, you know the story? She had several relationships, living with a man that wasn't her husband. God, Jesus reconciled her past, spoke to her present, and then changed her future. We need to encounter that well. When Moses kills the Egyptian, he flees to the well. Well, they're ready to kill him. He gets afraid, and he goes to a land, and he comes across a well. The well of redemption. We need to encounter that well. That well of reconciliation. We need to encounter the well that redeems us from our past mistakes. That's the well Moses experienced. And what did God do in Exodus 2? Amen. He brought Moses to that well. And then what did God? When God introduced himself to Moses, he reconciled his past. He spoke to his present, and he changed his future. Is anybody hearing me? Those are the wells, those encounters with God. A few more. You can come play. Esther had a well experience. I want you to hear me. God had to deal with Esther. She was in a kind of a middle of a situation. And her uncle had to talk to her and said, you know what? Maybe where you come from and maybe what you've dealt with has prepared you for this time. Reconcile the past. Bring clarity to the present and launch you into a future. Jesus, he experienced a well experience at the transfiguration. At the transfiguration. Here he is, he's praying. Here come Elijah and Moses. What do? They represent the law and the prophets. at the transfiguration. They represent his past. He's a fulfillment of the law. He's a fulfillment of the prophets. He's having this encounter. God wants to answer the solutions regarding your past. He wants to resolve your past. Why did this happen? Why am I like this today? Why do I have these triggers? Why do these type of people bother me? Why can't I talk about hard things? Why am I passive aggressive? Why am I quick tempered? The law and the prophets represents Jesus' past. They brought clarity to his present, and they prepared him for his future sacrifice. So when Isaac digs that well, when he digs that well, when he works hard to dig that well, after trying his third attempt, sometimes you got to try over and over again. Sometimes you don't succeed the first time. Sometimes you don't get the breakthrough you want. But do you settle for less? Do you settle for what less than what God has promised? And on the third try, he does it. And you know what he does? He names it Rehoboth, but he goes on to Beersheba in the 26th chapter of Genesis. After he digs that well of his father's, reconciling his past, he moves on to his own well in Beersheba. And there he builds a well and an altar. And what Beersheba was so interesting, it means a land of oath. And God shows up in Beersheba, and he reminds Isaac of the promise that he gave to his father. And now it's not only Abraham's promise, it becomes Isaac's promise. It becomes God's commitment to Isaac. Reconcile the past, bring clarity to the present, and change the trajectory of the future. We only get that when we're willing to unearth that which has been covered. When we're willing to do the work in communication, in core values, in relationship, in forgiveness. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to reconcile. It's hard to let a relationship, amen, that suffered betrayal be healed. You got to bring a shovel with you.
What is a shovel? The shovel is that which breaks up the hardness of your heart in an area that doesn't want to change. The shovel is prayer and fasting and obedience to the commands, the decrees, and the instructions. The shovel is prayer, fasting, and obedience and adherence to the commands, the decrees, and the instructions. The decree, the command to forgive one another, to let it go. That's a command. The decree is the audible command. You need to forgive so-and-so. You need to forgive them for taking your money, not giving it back. You need to forgive them for betraying you. That's the decree. And the instructions, this is how you need to do it. This is how you need to approach them. This is how you need to go to your son. This is how you need to go to your daughter. This is how you need to go to them. You bring your shovel. What's the shovel? Prayer, fasting, adherence to the commands, decrees, and you do that, you'll be blessed in the place. you'll be blessed in the place. And we're not talking about a geographical place right now. We're talking about the position of your heart. That's the place. The position and the posture of your heart. You do that, God will bless you because your heart is right. Your heart is right towards your family. Your heart is right towards your marriage. Sometimes it's going to take some humility. It's hard to let go of some things. I don't know why I'm not just heavy on this. Maybe I'm talking to somebody on live stream. Maybe all y'all got it together in here. I'm just talking to somebody on live stream. But when we go in our own flesh, and I got 3 minutes and I'll be done. When we go in our own flesh, what we do, we mess it all up. Because we say, I'm going to talk to this ninja, get this thing right. And then they say, you're already bad attitude. You already messed up where you went. And then they say something set you off. And then y'all end up, say, I knew it wasn't going to work. They don't want to do nothing. You went wrong. You ain't go with your shovel. Not go with your shovel. Matter of fact, you didn't even pre-dig. Sometimes you got to pre-dig the hole, man. You never build a building without digging the hole first. You never build your marriage without digging the hole first. You never build an edifice without digging the hole first. Without breaking up the ground. Am I right, Tony? You never build anything without laying a foundation first. So you got to take your shovel. Your shovel, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Adherence to his commands. His decrees and his instructions. Then you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in the place. And if you go after it once, it didn't work, try it again. It went to another well. You tried it on the second time, it didn't work, try it again. Keep digging. Maybe the one-day fast turned into a three-day fast. Maybe a three-day fast. Maybe we need 7 days. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. God's going to reconcile your past. He's going to make sense of your past. Bring clarity to your present. Launch you into a future. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. I can't wait till August. We're going to be doing some fasting in August, man. I'm just waiting. Just excited about August. Amen. Hallelujah. But you should be fasting on your own. It's good to fast before you deal with family matters. You know why? Because you kill the flesh and you kill the triggers. So you should fast before you go into a hard place. That's your shovel. Amen. If you have a family member near you, I want you to just grab them by the hand. If you're here and you have a family member near you, just grab them by the hand. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Go on over there to Greg there. You didn't know, I know you. She's like, I don't want to move, I don't know for sure. In the name of Jesus. I want you to pray and just pray for that family member, the hand you're holding. And this is your day. If you haven't had an altar of prayer in the past, this is your day to establish it. In the name of Jesus. And don't let the past condemn you. God is here to reconcile your past, to set the path on the right trail. I mean, to clear it up. He's going to forgive you. Don't worry about it. If you haven't had a family altar, today is a new day, and it's a fresh start. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and just begin to pray for that hand you're holding, that family member. Those who are watching live stream, Amen. If you're around a family member, just pray with them in the name of Jesus. Father, I release your will upon their life, your blessing upon them, Lord. Clear up any confusion and past hurts and mistakes, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Bring us closer together. Cause us to function as one. Let your blessing be upon our household, Lord. We dig the well of Jesus. We want Jesus present at our well, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, in the name of Jesus. We want deliverance and breakthrough, Father. We cannot build this house by carnal means. It must be built, Father, through insight, wisdom, understanding, in the name of Jesus. So we do not lean to our own understanding. Father, we trust in you to establish our home, to bring breakthrough and blessing to our home. Father, we trust you to paint a proper image. We want heaven's image of our family. We want the heavenly image, Father. We want what you intended our family in the earth to be, to reflect. That's what we want in our family, in the name of Jesus. So God, we adhere to your commands, your decrees, and your instructions, in the name of Jesus. We submit to them, Lord. We lift up, even if your loved one's not here, we lift up our husbands, our wives. We lift up our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we dig the wells where the enemy has come and cover their hearts with hard hearts and limestone and stony hearts, Lord, where they can't receive salvation, where salvation has been blocked, where the love of God hasn't been seen in their lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, we release, God. We break up that hard place, Father, that hard place in their heart, that rebellion, Father, that pride, that stubbornness, in the name of Jesus. Even where Satan has contended through the spirit of Sitna, through the spirit of Esek, Lord, to contentious relationships, in the name of Jesus, we break up that hard ground with the shovel of prayer, with the shovel of intercession, in the name of Jesus. Bring life to dead situations, dead relationships, in the name of Jesus. Bring healing, oh God, to my family. Father, thank you that in Chronicles 7 and 14, you said you would heal the land, heal the land, heal the land of our families, heal the land of our house. Households, Lord, heal the land of relationships, Lord. Come on, people of God, pray in the name of Jesus. Let the land be healed, oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let the land be healed, God. Let the land be healed. Let understanding be reached. Let new levels of communication be established in my family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let understanding come. Let compassion come. Let forgiveness come, in Jesus' name. Father, we want nothing less. We want nothing less but your promises, what you've decreed, what you've declared, what you've prophesied over our family, in the name of Jesus. And we speak life. Come on, speak life. We speak new levels of prosperity, new levels of love, new levels of unity, new levels of deliverance, in the name of Jesus. Salvation hits our homes. Salvation hits our homes. We decree salvation hits our family, our homes. Come on, you don't sound like you want your loved ones saved. Salvation hits our homes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We establish the altar, God, the place of your presence, the place of sacrifice, the place of the shedding of blood. And Father, cause on the altar our pride to die, our stubbornness to die, our old habits and old patterns to die,
toxic communication to die. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Paint a new picture for our family. Jesus, paint a new picture for our family. In Jesus' name, give us a new mission. Give us a new assignment. Renew your word to our family. Renew your prophetic word to our family. In the name of Jesus. Come on, musicians. Come on, renew a word to our family. Come on, renew breakthrough to our family. In the name of Jesus. Cause a returning in our family. A returning to the ways of God. A returning to the commands of God. A returning, Father, to your instructions. A returning to your decrees. A returning, God. We return to the altar. We return to that place of prayer. We return to that place of glory. We return to that place, oh God, in the name of Jesus. 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 The last thing I'm going to pray, every spirit of contention and enmity that's come to cause divide in my family, we drive it out in the name of Jesus. You don't know how much the enemy hates your family. We've had a whole month of pride, pride parade, pride marketing, pride everything. You don't know how much the enemy hates your family. But we decree, Father, we bind the enemy from our family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we say he will not devour our family. He will not devour our family. He will not devour our family. Come on. He will not devour our family. We set the hedges. We close the breaches. In the name of Jesus. We intercede, we intercept for our family. We set the boundaries of prayer and intercession and fasting over our family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and we break generational curses of sickness, affliction, mental illness, poverty. We break it off our family line. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Our family is a blessing. We decree, thank you, Lord, for our family. Even this family, this local family. Thank you, Lord, for family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I hear the Lord saying that even as you adopt the principles and even take the step of faith, because the Lord says some of you have experienced so much disappointment in areas of attempting to bring your family together, you've all but thrown in the towel. But the Lord says, I cause even a new strategy to come. And the Lord says, even in these days and the days ahead, that you won't go alone. But the Lord says, I'll go before you. And even as you pick up the tool of prayer and fasting, and incorporate my word and my promises over your life. The Lord says, I'll give you to war before you go, and I'll cause you to win the heart before you're even in their presence. The Lord says, I'll give you new strategies to win the war for your family. And I'll give you new insight and even the words and new instruction and how to bring and close the breach that the enemy has sown in your family. And the Lord says, I'll repair the land of your house. I'll repair the land of your house and cause fruit to come where it was barren, and cause light to come where it was dark. So the Lord says, lift up your heads and be encouraged, for I'm the God of your family, says the Spirit of the living God. And there's room for you, and there's a place for you, and there's a purpose for your generational line. From generation to generation, you shall experience the presence and the glory of God. From generation to generation, your children's children shall step into purpose and destiny. From generation to generation, mantles, generational mantles, generational destinies, generational breakthroughs released on your family, says the Spirit of the living God. One more time, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let it be better than that. Come on, give it to Jesus.